Hello there, and welcome to the 11th episode of Dev Conversations by SwiftToolkit.dev, where we host developers that contribute to the Swift tooling ecosystem. Today we have the pleasure to host Finn Voorhis, who is an iOS developer, but also the person behind Playdate Kit, a Swift wrapper over the Playdate SDK. Hey, Finn.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Sure, thanks for accepting. As I do in every episode, tell me a little bit about your first steps in programming.
Yeah, so I mean, sort of self-taught. When I was younger, I was looking at like HTML and JS at first with Codecademy, things like that. Just going through different tutorials, mostly for JavaScript, and just making little websites, just kind of simple things. And then I got pretty interested in like Arduino, which is kind of education focused microcontroller board, just like lighting up LEDs, pushing buttons, making little synthesizers, stuff like that, which uses, I think it's a slightly modified C++ as the programming language. So that was kind of how I got a little bit more knowledgeable on the more traditional programming languages, C and C++.
How old were you back then?
I was probably 12 to 14. Just learning like microcontrollers, building simple websites. I was also pretty interested in like game development. So things like Unity, which is C#, but mostly like laying things out visually in their editor. So as far as like actually sort of diving into full-on programming, it was more so when I was in high school and early college where I started looking at like making iOS apps, just kind of little tools to help me out with tasks that I needed, like a bus schedule or things like a metronome. And then I studied computer engineering and maths in university, which was more traditional computer programming courses like C++, things like that, with a little bit of electrical engineering as well. So that's sort of my background in programming.
Yeah, very cool. And this already takes us a little bit to the topic of Playdate Kit, which is, I think it combines a little bit of everything that you mentioned, right? It's a little bit of embedded and games, and brings the Swift world of iOS development.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's sort of why I like working on it so much, is because, it's not just like an iOS app or an embedded thing or Swift. It is combining all of those things. And I think it's sort of not something traditionally done with Swift or even like as an iOS developer. You sort of think of Swift as just programming language for making iOS apps, macOS apps. And I think the cool thing we're seeing in the past few years is that's kind of changing.
It's a push for a different direction.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. All of the past interviews you've done about, Swift on server, embedded Swift, it's just really cool to see that kind of ecosystem coming together.
Yeah. And technically, how Swift for embedded differs from regular Swift? There are a few constraints, right?
Yeah, there's definitely constraints. I think when people think about it, they think it's going to be like completely different and you're going to have to do all these workarounds, which at the start, there were definitely some limitations. When I first started working on Playdate Kit, I was running into like compiler crashes pretty much every few days. But the team at Apple were working on developing embedded Swift were really receptive to like all the crash reports and everything. And especially like the past year, it's gotten a lot better. So
Yeah, because probably when you started was still a custom tool chain, right? Wasn't in the main.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's actually in like the Xcode shipping toolchain yet, maybe the latest beta. But yeah, you sort of do still need to install the nightly toolchains to get all the up-to-date features. But with the release of Swiftly for macOS, that's gotten a lot better. You can just Swiftly install latest and everything's automatically set up for you. You have like the Swift version defined in your project and everything's handled. But
But language wise, I think I remember that strings have some limitations. No, they.
Yeah, you know, you don't really run into them that much, but there are limitations. Like for advanced Unicode features, you need to bundle Unicode UTF-8 tables, I think it is, which adds some code size, which is why it's not enabled by default. And that's just for, I don't remember exactly what string operations is for, but it's sort of the more advanced ones you wouldn't use as often. So I haven't even run into with Playdate Kit needing them. It was supported for a while and then accidentally broke it and haven't gotten around to fixing it yet. But also things like floating point interpolation, like printing out a float, isn't currently enabled in embedded Swift because I guess it's hard to do without allocations. So that's one of the main limitations at the moment, at least for when you're making games, because you can't just say like print this value when debugging. You have to either convert it to an int or add your own basic floating point conversion. Because there is also the no allocations mode of embedded Swift, where it disables any functionality that requires allocations. And I guess that's for kind of lower level embedded coding where you're running on really weak hardware where you need that extra performance.
Yeah, more memory constrained devices.
Yeah, but I think for like hobbyist embedded development, you wouldn't really run into that because, you know, the difference between a little microcontroller with a small amount of RAM versus a bit more is maybe $1 for the chip. So you can kind of buy the slightly more expensive $5 microcontroller board versus $4 and have a better development experience.
Would you have any tips for people who would like to get a little more into this? Are there any kits that are more compatible with Swift or any tutorials that you might know?
I would say the Swift embedded examples is the best place to start, which is linked to on swift.org with their new redesign now. You know, it's featuring embedded front and center alongside server side, which is really nice. But if you go to the Swift embedded examples, it's a few ESP boards, like an ESP32 C6, I think, which is kind of like a smart home board, which has Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So there's an example for creating like a HomeKit LED, just lighting up a LED with HomeKit, which is pretty cool because it's interacting with HomeKit on iOS, which Swift developers are probably fairly familiar with. And then there's a few for Raspberry Pi Pico as well, which is more aimed, I think, at hobbyist and education. So I think probably just picking one of the boards where there's already an example for, then you don't really have to worry about, is this compatible? Do I have to figure out the build system? You can just kind of copy and paste the example and then start playing with it.
The starter projects. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's, I think, one of the biggest focuses at the moment on the Swift team is just improving the documentation and just figuring out how to make it easier for people to get started.
And back to Playdate Kit. Can you tell us a little bit more of what you've been adding support for in the recent months?
Yeah, I mean, mostly one of the biggest things is just trying to wrap as much of the Playdate C API as possible, because the Swift Playdate Kit is kind of based on the C SDK. Playdate Kit is really just Swift wrappers around the C API, which means that you can do anything you can with the C API or the Lua API just in Swift. And the goal of Playdate Kit was just to make it more idiomatic when using Swift.
And safer, like wrapping everything in Docker.
Yeah, exactly. The whole inspiration for Playdate Kit was the blog post on swift.org by Raul, who is working at Apple on embedded Swift. It was kind of the proof of concept showing you can use the C API, use embedded Swift, run it on a Playdate, which I just thought was really cool. And I mean, I wasn't even really interested in Playdate before that. I didn't own one or anything, but I just saw it and immediately thought it was really cool to be able to run Swift on was essentially like a modern Game Boy. It's kind of the way I look at the Playdate. But that was kind of a proof of concept showing you can use the C API directly, and it had a few nice Swift wrappers around things. But I kind of wanted to wrap the whole SDK, make it simpler, so you don't have to deal with like C pointers, memory addresses, things like that. It's just all abstracted away, and you just kind of create classes and Swift strings, and you know, it's basically the same experience as making an iOS app, just with a different UI SDK on top, which I think is pretty cool.
And can you tell a bit more about how the life cycle of a game works for people who might not be so used to it?
Yeah, so with the C SDK for Playdate, you just kind of define an entry point. You get a pointer to the API, basically, and then you call like playdate.drawRect. So with Playdate Kit, there is currently sort of a limitation where you have to copy and paste this external C-declared Swift function, which is just setting everything up, kind of. I do want to look into seeing if that can be replaced with a macro or something like that. But once you do that, you just have your class of a game, and you can override the update function, the paused function, things like that. So update is called each frame, and you can do all your drawing, there's sprites, audio, MIDI, stuff like that. So it's really simple.
Reminds a bit Sprite Kit.
A little bit, yeah. It's definitely similar, where you can create sprites with custom draw functions, custom update, and you have like position, scale, rotation, stuff like that. So it's a really nice way to just make a game. It's kind of like a very simplified game engine almost. There's nothing for like scene management or stuff like that, but that's another cool aspect that I've been working on lately. Is when it started, the swift.org blog post was just showing how a makefile can be used with a bunch of Swift C and Clang invocations with all these flags to build the executable. And I just kind of copied that at first, and then I converted it to a Swift package plugin just to make it a little bit simpler. I just didn't want to have to use makefiles, really. And then more recently, thanks to all like the advances with Swift Build and the Swift Package Manager, I was able to migrate Playdate Kit pretty much entirely over to the Swift Build system. So you just run Swift Build -c release, and then you pass it this tool set, which is defining all those flags that it needs to build for the right platform and everything. So because of that, it's now using the Swift Package Manager build system, and you can do things like use external dependencies. So you could essentially define a game engine Swift package, host that on GitHub for anyone to use.
And use deals that on.
Yeah. And so we're sort of already seeing a few people create Swift packages for various things that people were already using.
For Playdate?
C and Lua, yeah. So
that's very cool.
Yeah, I think the other day there was one, something to do with audio, where I guess there's a whole community of developers for Playdate, and they've developed an audio creation app. So the whole audio system on Playdate is pretty advanced. And you can kind of define essentially MIDI songs, and someone created just a Swift package for playing those back. So now anyone could use that in their Playdate Kit package by just importing the dependency the same way you would with any other app.
Regular Swift package.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that's one of the most exciting updates.
We'll link to those. And what about running in the device? Is it also supported by SPM and build plugins, or it's more manual?
Yeah, so right now it is still a package plugin, just because once you Swift build, there's one other step, which is converting it to a Playdate executable using just a tool they provide. And I think that's one of the things I was talking to people about at WWDC this year, is it would be interesting if you could hook into the Swift run command and have like post actions, essentially. So I think the goal there is to just be able to run Swift run and either build and debug on a Playdate or a Raspberry Pi or whatever you want, but we're not quite
That would
there
make
yet, so.
things much even more simpler if you had hooks,
Yeah,
some sort of
exactly.
hooks and
But right now, it's kind of a little hodgepodge together where if you run it from Xcode, it calls to this external script, which builds everything and then launches the Playdate simulator. There's no actual debugging on device. They have a simulator for macOS that you can use.
And changing topics a little bit, I've also noticed that you are a big fan of CLIs, and just this week you launched the Yap, which you can talk a little bit more, and also some contributions to Noura, the design system for CLIs by Twist. You also have a few pull requests there.
I mean, I wasn't even really interested in command line tools until, I guess, maybe 2 years ago when I don't know, I was sick of writing like bash scripts and stuff like that where it's kind of hard to figure out the language. I never really got used to it. So with like Swift argument parser, it's really easy to just write Swift and have a command line tool, which I think is really cool. Yeah, one of the first I made was FX Upscale, which is just using Metal FX to upscale video on the command line. And as part of that, I saw like things like the GitHub command line interface. They have this rendered terminal interface with colors, spinners, loading bars, pickers, stuff like that. And I thought that was just really cool. And I looked into it. It was only for Go and I think Python. There wasn't really any library for that in Swift. So I ended up just making my own little TUI library for Swift, which worked well enough. And I used that for like a year. But then, yeah, I saw Twist. They open source Noura, which is kind of their version. And it was 100 times better than mine. So I ended up just switching all my command line tools over to that. And there were a few missing features that mine had that theirs didn't, and I kind of wanted. So I just opened pull requests, and they were really receptive to those, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, I think that's the point of making it open source, so every
Exactly, yeah.
person can contribute if, with their own little components and make the tool as a whole better. And yeah, and you mentioned Metal and upscaling, and I think that also connects with Yap a little bit because one of the huge advantages of CLIs in Swift is that you have. If you're targeting for macOS, you can leverage all OS frameworks for free, right? And as you
Yeah,
did
that's
with Yap, you have transcription even faster than Whisper from OpenAI
yeah.
on device. Nothing leaves the device.
That's kind of what I realized after making FX Upscale. I was like, oh, you can just use any macOS API and your command line tool can be basically just an app, but interacted with through the command line. And I think a lot of those Apple APIs, they make these really cool APIs, but then if no developers use it or create an app for it, then it's hard for normal people to just use them. So things like Yap, which is using the new speech-to-text model, which I'm sure apps like Mac Whisper will adopt soon. But I think it's just really interesting to have a way to just directly interact with this Apple API, which is, yeah, local on device, super fast, and you can just pipe input in, put it into whatever other command line tool you want. And then, yeah, also just have a nice TUI rendered using Noura.
Yeah, and another thing that you mentioned is I think that CLIs, they are the minimal UI for trying something or for playing with something. And something that I've done recently with my own packages, and I think for any package, it's interesting to have to add an executable target with the argument parser, depending on the argument parser, so you can show people what your package does. I'm not sure this is a fit for every package, but for many, it's definitely worth both as a developer and as a maintainer of a package, but also I think as developers that consume this package, they can be very useful, and it's very
Yeah,
nice that
and
you.
it's gotten so simple to implement with Swift Argument Parser. And if you want to go with a more advanced UI, it's just way easier for me, at least, than trying to figure out the bash syntax to make the
Yeah,
same thing.
I totally agree. And to finalize, what are your thoughts on the future of Swift for embedded, for server, for CLIs, as a language as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really optimistic, I think, about Swift. You can see from like the redesigned swift.org website, which is featuring everything we talked about today, cloud services, embedded, the command line, and that's all above iOS. And then you even have Windows apps on there. So I think there's definitely a really big push for just this completely cross-platform language, as well as on the tooling side with the open source Swift build from a few months ago, which is kind of also working towards cross-platform on the tooling side. And I think a lot of this interacts together really well. Embedded, Swift on server. You have things like Swift WebAssembly, which you can use embedded Swift for to reduce the code size. So I think it's just all kind of coming together slowly into this one
I
language
agree.
you can use for everything, which I mean, I love. I'm very biased towards Swift, but it's what I write all day, so I really enjoy it. And especially
Yeah.
just talking to everyone at WWDC about it. I had even more fun this year just talking to people in the Swift kind of ecosystem about things like this versus even just Apple's APIs.
Yeah, we're all excited to see what else is coming. And pushing for this, I think that the whole community gains from it as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, even iOS developers, as features are made for all these other platforms, they're also coming to iOS, things like typed throws, and I'm sure a million other things.
All right. If people want to find you, where they can find you online.
I have my website, finvoorhees.com, which is not updated very often. I haven't posted anything in probably over a year, but if I ever think of something interesting to post again, I might post there. But I think I'm mostly just active on Mastodon these days. Just Finn Voorhees at mastodon.social.
Okay, we'll leave links. Thank you so much, Finn. It was very nice talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for
And
having me on.
see you in the future. Bye bye.